And welcome to another edition of Cornette's Commentary right here on Who's Slamming Who. This is Tommy Fiero, joined by the man himself, Mr. James E. Cornette. 4 months from the date of Christmas today, Jimmy.
4 months. 4 months. What are you going to get me, Tommy?
Whatever you want. I know what I can get you. How about the first couple seasons of True Blood on DVD?
There you go. There you go. We got to keep up with the True Blood. By the way, we're coming down to the season finale.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, Tommy? What do you think is going to take place? Are these star-crossed lovers ever going to get together and have peace?
I actually popped you. I talked to you yesterday real briefly. I didn't know that you actually watched the show. I'm a big fan of it. I'm going to call...
Only thing I do religiously.
I'm going to call Bill Turner Hale at the end of the season. What do you think?
I don't know. I think now that we've established that Sookie is a fairy, I think they're going to live happily ever after in fairyland.
Oh, how about Eric? What's up with him? He's pretty much telling Sookie that, you know, Bill can't be trusted and whatnot.
I think Eric is somehow going to make a sacrifice at the end that gets Bill and Sookie together, unless they got a plan for next season.
Huh. Now, I would say, I think a good scenario would be turning Sookie into a vampire, but I don't think, since she's a fairy, that she can do that, right?
I think there's some kind of law against that. You can't be a fairy and a vampire. You know, it's sort of like you can't be a Republican and still sane.
What do you think about the big heel vampire, Russell? What do you think's going to happen with him?
Russell is my guy. I love me some Russell Edgington.
What about when he
de-spined the news anchor and then pitched to the weather with Tiffany? I thought that was a classic way to end the show a couple weeks ago. But I tell you, the big thing is, will Lafayette ever get his life straightened out? I mean, I love me some Lafayette, and he just has so much trend. And poor Tara. But I think she's being a little heelish on Bill just because she had the bad experience with one of those bad vampires. You know, people can be bad and good. You know,
and how can she have heat even though Jason Stackhouse killed Eggs? How can she have heat with that after he saved her life last week with Franklin coming back after her?
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that she really needs a good therapist.
And I don't know about you, but there's just a little too much of Lafayette in the and Jesus, the medical assistant, for me over the last couple weeks.
Well, now I'm afraid there's going to be something bad happen now that he's getting Lafayette back on the V, but, you know. All I can say is they must really want to give all for their art, because neither one of those guys looks like they need to be kissing on each other on national television.
What do you think about Jason Stackhouse? You think he'll become an officer at the season finale?
I think they're going to save it till next season, and he's going to become director of the FBI.
And what do you think about his weird new girlfriend with the dad and all that stuff?
Well, you know, these shapeshifters, you can't never trust them. Because once you think you know what they are, they just shift again, and there they're gone.
You know what character I like, too? I'm starting to take a liking to Sam's brother's character.
I think he's a little punk. I think we need to get rid of him. He's just, you know, he's going to cause trouble there at Merlot's. And I don't know how Merlot's keeps from getting shut down when they have people either staked or beaten bloody on a weekly basis in that place. You know, I know Louisiana is a little bit free thinking and they, you know, the cops down there aren't exactly on the ball, but still, for heaven's sake. But anyway, enough of True Blood. I guess we ought to talk about pro wrestling.
I guess so. And again, for the second week in a row, some very sad news report. Skinner Akbar passed away last week, and I believe you had the opportunity to see him not too long ago, correct?
Well, yeah, it was kind of freaky, actually, because, you know, not only Skandor Akbar, but also Ted Allen and Johnny Walker, Mr. Wrestling 2, were all at the Charlotte Legends Fan Fest, and I got a chance to see all of them, you know, and then, boom, Wrestling 2 has the heart problems, and then I was, over the weekend, I was out of town, obviously, at the Ring of Honor television tapings, and I heard that Akbar and Ted Allen had died, and well, you know, when I saw Akbar, he obviously is in his mid-70s. He wasn't getting around too good, but he still had that booming voice, and, you know, it seemed that everything was okay. And Ted Allen was at the booth right across from me and was smiling and laughing and joking through the whole weekend. So It was kind of sudden and a little spooky. But of course, you know, Ted Allen was one of Danny Davis's first partners as the Nightmares before Ken Wayne. And of course, Akbar had a 40-year career as a wrestler and manager and mentor to guys down in Texas and everybody from Jim Ross to Mick Foley. So, you know, you never know. These things can happen. That's why, you know, the Fan Fest, I think everybody enjoys, because they get a chance to see guys that you may not get the chance to see too many more times.
Sure. Being one of the greatest managers in the history of professional wrestling, what are your thoughts on Skinner Akbar, both as a performer, and what are some of the best memories you have of him as a performer?
Well, Akbar was not only a great wrestler in his day, especially in the Leroy McGurk territory, because he was shorter. A lot of people don't realize he was so thick, and he was one of the strongest guys around. I mean, he was a moose in his day. But he was very short, vertically challenged, as they say. And so, you know, when he had a larger-than-life persona on television, then when you'd meet him, he was wide as a truck, but he was a little bit shorter, so he was just a little squat powerhouse. And he transitioned to managing well because he always had a great promo, and he had that great voice, and you could hear him a mile away. And, of course, in that part of the country, especially the dastardly Arab oil millionaire was always hot and always evergreen because of the oil industry in Louisiana and Mississippi, the Gulf Coast down there in Texas. And Akbar with Devastation Incorporated, he was in the mix in Dallas for so many years with the Von Erichs. He was in the mix in Mid-South Wrestling with leading, you know, guys like Kamala for Mid-South. Watts always loved those big monster heels that could put the baby faces in jeopardy, and Akbar fit right in. I thought he was a great promo, and at the same time, you know, he was the kind of guy you could always count on him. He was equally as at home working with the office as he was working with the boys. He wasn't going to do anything screwy. So I think that that overall, that's why he had such a great career and why so many guys looked up to him.
Yeah, obviously a true legend in the business, and we'd like to send our condolences to his family and friends. And hopefully next week's Cornette's Commentary, we have no sad news to report.
Yeah, hopefully we've gotten all that. And I understand Wrestling 2 is still in the hospital in Charlotte, and I understand they put off his surgery. At last I heard for a few days, but I hope that turns out well and he can get back home. He's lived for a number of years in Hawaii, and that's a bitch to come all the way to Charlotte and not be able to go home if you live in Hawaii. But our good wishes out to everybody, and hopefully it will be a little bit brighter next week. Tommy, we got to talk about something fun now. We're starting to turn downhill. What about, by the way, the Ring of Honor television tapings this past weekend that will air on HDNet coming up in September and October? I thought went tremendously. We had some great matches. Things are leading up to September 11th, Glory by Honor, the Internet pay-per-view. If you can't be there live in New York, you can see it anywhere with computer access. Log on to GoFightLive.tv. But Roderick Strong and Tyler Black for the title, the Kings of Wrestling, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin to determine who is the best tag team in the world, double chain match with Steve Corino and Kevin Steen against El Generico and Colt Cabana. We've got a few other great matches that I don't want to reveal right now that are going to be revealed on the website. We've got some special surprises. A lot of people were saying that Ring of Honor could not put on a better pay-per-view than this past June in Toronto, and we are going to take a ballpark swing at beating that one on September 11th. And plus Terry Funk there in the building. You never know what's going to take. The fabulous Funker is around. So I think all in all, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, it sounds really good. A couple quick listener questions. One I find very interesting. I want to get your thoughts on back during the, you know, early to, well, I'd say 84, 80, beginning of 85, when they did the rock and wrestling thing with MTV, the WWF. The person wants to know your thoughts on whether or not Rowdy Roddy Piper gets all the credit he deserves for the boom period of when WWF originally took off.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I've always thought he got a lot of the credit. I didn't know that anybody had shorted him because I think he was an integral part of it. There was just about no way to have that big WrestleMania swing and the war to settle the score and all the MTV stuff, etc., without the antagonist, you know, to Cyndi Lauper and Hulk Hogan, and that was Roddy Piper. So, yeah, to me, WrestleMania was built on Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, and the rock and wrestling thing with Cyndi Lauper. You know, anybody who thinks differently, you know, I mean, I don't think it was going to do that business for Hulk Hogan to wrestle, you know, Johnny Rods.
You think Mr. T played a big part of that as well?
Well, you know, I guess he did. He was in the right place at the right time. He didn't contribute that much to the wrestling business in the ring or actually even outside the ring as much as the publicity. Since he was so hot as a television star at the time, he and Hulk Hogan could get on shows that Hulk Hogan couldn't get on at that time by himself. So
sure.
I think Hogan probably rode some of Mr. T's coattails. And thankfully, Mr. T was hot for 2 years, and that was the two-year period he was hot. Sometimes these things just work out.
Another listener question. They want to know if you ever had the opportunity to work with Andre the Giant.
Well, I did have the opportunity to work on shows with him, but not with him directly. When I first started in Memphis, he was on a couple of the cards that I was on the underneath card, and he was in the main event, so I got to work shows with him, but never actually against him. And then I guess it was by 84, Vince pretty much cut him off from working for anybody else, so that was that. But it was always great to be on the card because you knew your payoff was going to be up, and it was kind of a thrill for me at the time to just be in the locker room with the world's most famous wrestler. And make no mistake about it, definitely over Hulk Hogan, definitely over, you know, even guys like Ric Flair and Harley Race and the NWA champions. Andre was a phenomenon. He was at the time the most famous wrestler in the world. So that was kind of cool on its own.
Yeah. Another listener question, they want to know your thoughts on Tomko. They said at the time when you were heavily involved in TNA, it seemed as though Tomko was about to take off as a big breakout star when he had that angle going with AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, and just recently Tomko was released from TNA. I wonder your thoughts on Tomko as a performer and whether or not they think you think TNA dropped the ball on him, or if he could have been a big star.
Well, Tomko, first of all, worked quite a bit for us here in Ohio Valley Wrestling and was always, you know, a pleasure. Not only did he work, but he drove the ring truck. He was responsible. He was, you know, he was an adult. He wasn't you know, one of these young kids that would lose track of time. He was always on time. He always worked hard. I'll tell you, I point to not just recently, but I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years ago, if you'll recall, when Tomko was a heel, but he was starting to get over as a babyface. People
yeah.
were starting to chant for him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually.
You know, he would go out and smash people on television, and folks would, you know, just rave and chant, Tomko, Tomko. And right then, I saw that he could have been a big breakout star. People wanted to like him. All he had to do was full-fledged switch babyface and you know, reward their support of him. And I think he would have been huge. And, of course, what did Vince Russo do in all his infinite wisdom? He booked him of one of his phony swerves as he was getting all this great babyface feedback, and all he had to do was that official turn. What did Russo do? He had him do an official turn back all the way heel. And you could see it a mile away. People wanted to like this guy. And he said, well, what he'll do is now he'll turn and he'll you know, take up for Kurt Angle or whatever the fucking deal was. Who can even remember this effluvia that comes out of Russo's brain? And then in a few months, we'll switch him back. Well, a few months never came, and the bloom was off the rose, and they lost their opportunity. And once again, because of Vince Russo's booking, another guy's career was shortened and harmed, and the fans didn't get what they wanted to see. They got swerved and fooled because it was a surprise, because everybody knows that surprises are what draw in wrestling, according to Vince Russo, and he's a fucking idiot, and now Tomko's released. So there you have it.
You still think there's any chance that Tomko can be a big breakout star in wrestling, or you think that ship has already sailed?
You know, he's a great-looking guy. He's in shape, usually, when he's being used, and people care about whether or not that, you know, he's on the card. He gets himself in shape. I think if he can take a little while away from the spotlight and make people forget that he was ever in TNA, then if he's still young enough, I think there's still a chance, yes, because used the right way, the guy's very valuable. Of course, used the right way, a lot of people are valuable, and nobody in TNA is used the right way. So I would say this to anybody who's in TNA or leaving TNA or thinking of leaving TNA. If you just go and hide in a hole somewhere until people forget you were ever in TNA and then, you know, go somewhere else where they'll actually use you to your full potential, I leave that up to you to determine where that is, then yes, I think you still have futures. But right now, everybody should hope for sudden blackouts across a majority of the population centers on Thursday night so that nobody can see the TNA program, because your career will last longer that way. Just my opinion.
Did you hear anything about this new startup promotion in Florida that's supposed to be taking place?
Oh, yeah, I heard they're starting up a little later than they were originally going to start up.
Yeah, I just read that right before.
Yeah, they were going to start paying people in September. Now it's going to be January at the earliest. Folks, you know, all I can say to anybody in professional wrestling that wants to buy into this line of horse shit, if you're walking down the street and the sign says free blowjobs, well, when you stand in that line and you get up to the front and you realize you're not getting blown, you're getting fucked, don't be surprised. This whole thing is the most ludicrous waste of time that I've ever heard. As a matter of fact, Tommy, let's close up this edition of Cornette's Commentary with a brief overview of this Florida promotion, because my phone battery is dying. So now there's a guy that has a lot of money. And he knows a guy who knows an independent wrestler. And people who work for this guy, supposedly work for this guy that has a lot of money, have told this friend to tell this independent wrestler that that they are going to give them $5 million of that money. So this independent wrestler and this friend are going around telling everybody in the wrestling business, we're going to sign you up, you're going to have retirement plans, you're going to have 401ks, you're going to have health insurance, and by the way, you're going to get half your money, at least, starting in October. Well, apparently now that's January, even if we're not running. Now, I don't know about you, but it occurs to me that if you're willing to pay people not to work for months and months before you ever have a television show or a television pilot or even an announced name of your promotion, possibly, I don't even know if they have a post office box, but yet they're going to pay all these people all this money. Somebody is fucking somebody. Now, I don't know whether they're fucking the rich guy or whether the rich guy and the friend are getting together to fuck a third party that we don't know about yet, but I know who's going to get fucked in the end, and that's anybody that buys this line of horse shit. So just beware, and remember, that sign that says free blowjobs, chances are, as your mother used to say, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
You know, the one guy that is pretty much in charge of, like, backing this deal, he has a office, I heard, in Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is about only 20 minutes from my house. Maybe I should take a ride over there and talk to him.
I think you ought to drop by there and sign a contract with him, Tommy, and he'll start paying you next month for doing nothing, which you do so well.
Thanks. Well, that'll wrap it up. And as always, head over to jimcornette.com. And some goodies coming up over there soon, you were saying last week.
Yes, yes. We have goodies by the truckload that in the next month, jimcornette.com gets a complete revamping. And we've got all kinds of stuff and surprises that are going up.
And maybe we can get a Merlot's overview on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, as a matter of not, it's not Rotten Tomatoes, it's Now with Tomato. Rotten Tomatoes is the bad movie critiques. Now with Tomato is the restaurant review. Get your shit straight, Tommy. What do I pay you for? Come to think of it, I don't pay you, so I've answered my own question.
All right, James Z, well, we will talk to you next week, and until then, have an enjoyable rest of your week, my friend.
Thank you, my boy. I will talk to you next week with more Cornette's Commentary.
All right, man, take care.
Bye-bye.